We have found that some devotees have difficulty with their marriage. Mostly, I believe, because they do not quite understand what the purpose, the meaning of marriage is. And because they do not understand the deep connection between marriage and the spiritual path. And so we have scheduled this subject, and I'm basing it, of course, on the teachings of the Guru. Not only in his writings, in his lectures, but also I was privileged to be present. I didn't understand at that time why, when he gave counsel to married couples who had difficulties. I want to divide the subject into different sections. In the first one, I want to give general principles, basic principles. The Master said, the One, meaning God, in order to have a play, became many. And now the One in the many endeavors to become one again. This is the basic setup of the universal play. And that means desire for human companionship, marriage, is not just a limited thing, you know, a human instinct. It is a universal force. It is the cosmic power of attraction, or the cosmic power of love, inherent in all creatures. That power which draws everything back into the One Consciousness again. Master gave an illustration. He said that the ocean, with the help of the storm of delusion, created waves. And he said, now the waves want to become one with the ocean again. This is the basic goal. The thing is, please understand, it is not the goal of one wave to become one with another wave, and that's it. The goal is for the waves to become one with the ocean. Now, I say this not to limit or to talk down the significance of marriage. Not at all. Marriage is a very important phase, if it is rightly understood and lived. Very important phase in the overall becoming one with the ocean again. But I say this because many people have a wrong expectation, an unrealistic expectation, or even demand from a marriage partner that ultimate fulfillment and perfection which only the ocean of God's consciousness can give. And so Ndayamata often said, it is not realistic, it isn't fair to expect or to demand the ultimate perfection from another human being when we ourselves are not perfect. This is driving another person in a corner, isn't it? Outlandish expectations. It is selfish. And then she said, we must expect nothing from others and much of ourselves. Now, can you imagine a marriage consisting of two people who have that attitude? Expecting nothing from the other but much of themselves, giving. Now, the Master said, again, a basic thing. Through the law of relativity, God divided himself into man and woman. But when he found that both man and woman, being made in his image, were essentially equal, he created superficial differences in their bodies and minds. Not just mind, but emotion, psychological makeup. God created these physiological and mental differences to make some distinction between man and woman. The ideal spiritual union between them was that man might bring out the hidden reason in woman, and that a woman might help man uncover his hidden feeling. With this, he didn't mean that woman is stupid, you know. And it doesn't mean that man has no feeling, but the Master said, that accomplished, man and woman aid each other to develop perfect reason and perfect feeling, the pure divine qualities. What does that mean? In a beginning, reason is not pure. It is a lower kind of reason, sensory mind. Perfect reason, that's not the ordinary mind, that's the higher faculty. It's a soul quality. The pure divine qualities, that's an aspect, that's a quality of the soul. Pure reason in a sense of wisdom. And pure feeling, in a beginning feeling is not pure either, it is mixed with emotion. So this is the primary spiritual value of marriage. Because as the Master says in the autobiography of a yogi, it is the personal responsibility of every human being to restore his dual nature to a unified harmony in Eden. And that means that man and woman, husband and wife, through this close relationship, help each other to develop in both perfect reason or wisdom and perfect feeling or love. Then he goes on saying, when this is accomplished, man and woman become liberated by being united first with each other and then later merged into God. That is the purpose of marriage. How few people understand that. And when you see it from this perspective, it is quite clear that such a relationship has to be based, and this is now the teaching which was taught in the higher enlightened ages, and the Master took it from there, a relationship which is based on divine friendship, and that means unconditional love, unconditional loyalty. It is a commitment which is unconditional. And if it is not that, it is not marriage. Because then the true meaning or the true purpose cannot be fulfilled. You understand that? So it is a relationship between equals. This is the old concept, and this is included in our marriage vow. The Master wrote in our marriage ceremony, divine friendship between equals. Different roles externally, but essentially equal. To attain that true, deep purpose of helping one another to perfect the pure divine qualities. And through this, becoming ready to merge into God. Now, let's look at marriage. In an article I read, it says, social scientists have made many tests to see to what degree husbands and wives knew each other, even in superficial things. In one test, husbands and wives, the women in one room, the men in another, were shown an array of gifts, gloves, scarves, belts, wallets, and so on. And each was asked to predict which of the items his or her spouse would prefer. Not one of the couples succeeded in predicting their partner's choice. Not one. And we are talking about friendship, unconditional union, even superficially. This means they're not making an effort to reach and understand. Because they do not understand what the whole thing is. Then in that article it says, despite the arguments of some feminists, there are basic differences between men and women. No man knows what it feels like to be pregnant, to nurse a baby. Each month, women react to stimuli that do not act on the male body. A man can never share, never fully understand the ways in which this inner calendar may profoundly influence a woman's moods and her responses. Each sex views the other from behind barriers composed of different feelings and sensations. Although these feelings and sensations can never be adequately described by one sex to the other, and most husbands and wives are not aware that they even exist. Can you imagine that? Each feels cheated when the other fails to understand a mood or an action that arises from one of these basic differences. No matter how great the desire for total communication, each sex sends only the kind of message it is equipped to send and receives only the messages it is equipped to receive. Thus, a woman whose depressed mood is due to premenstrual tension feels angry and lonely when her husband, from whom she wanted a show of tenderness, tells her to snap out of it. Because he can see no reason for her depression. With the sending and receiving apparatus so different, it is no wonder that messages often pass wide of their marks. That's ordinary marriage. That's not spiritual marriage. Because what those scientists do not know is that man and woman can understand. Not through reason, but through intuition, through spiritual deep reaching out and trying to understand and feel. Because intuition is the all-knowing power of the soul. Plus, what they do not know is that every woman has spent innumerable lives before as a man. And every man has lived innumerable lives as a woman in the past. Now, with this, I do not say that everybody should try to find out what they were, you know, past incarnations. But the essential experience and the essential knowledge from past incarnations is buried within, behind our consciousness. And through intuition, that knowledge comes to the foreground again. And I say again, such a knowledge and such a feeling of what the other person is and feels like, that can come only if a relationship is based, I repeat, on a deep commitment which is unconditional. Unconditional loyalty and unconditional love. Now, it takes a while to develop that intuition, you know. What are you going to do in the meantime? An attempt to communicate. Talk. Talk. Don't expect your marriage partner to read your mind. Talk. There's a woman, one time was eating breakfast in a hotel coffee shop, and when she was finished, she asked for the check from the waitress, and the waitress said, "But I put your breakfast on a tab of the man that was sitting next to you just left." And the woman said, "How could you do such a thing? I've never seen the man. I don't even know him." And the waitress said, "I'm so sorry. I thought you were married because you didn't talk." That's pretty sad. There's a woman psychologist in New York who interviewed 40,000 married couples. And the result was that she found that those 40,000 couples each, on an average, talked with each other exactly 27 minutes a week. Talk. I don't mean to say now that you have to yak all the time, you know. And there are marriages which are very deep, very close, very intimate on an internal basis, that they do not need much talking. A glance, a gesture is enough to understand. But That is the result of effort. Mostly, people are not reaching out. They're not reaching within, deeper, into deeper levels. So talk to your partner. Don't expect your marriage partner to read your mind. Don't withdraw in loneliness and frustration and hurt just because your husband or your wife does not understand how you feel. He or she may not know. How can they know? We have to reach out. Talk. This is one of the reasons why God has given us a mouth, you know. Communicate. The other day I came across a story. There was a woman who said to her husband, you know, I would like you to express more affection to me. For instance, when you come home, I would like you to kiss me. And the husband cooperated. Next day he came home from the office and he kissed her. The wife said, no, that's not long enough. He said, all right, how long? She said, 8 seconds. It worked. They came through a little thing like that. They came so close. They made a game out of it. Sometimes he came home from the office and said, I had a lousy day today. Today it's going to be only 6 seconds. Another day he would come and he said, I had a glorious day. Today it's going to be 10 seconds. You know, this is another thing. Show affection. Show affection. Don't take for granted that your husband or your wife knows that you love. Show affection. Expressed affection. And that goes for children too. Children, particularly in this country, they get everything. Materially, money, toys, cars, everything. And many of them do not get love. And I have seen it. I have seen the tragedies from such a neglect. Love is more important to a child than all the money in the world and all the gifts in the world and toys. Some of those people come from so-called good families, well-to-do families. They got everything materially from their parents. They did not get love. And they grow up as cripples. Emotional cripples. People have come to me and said, I did not receive love and I want to express love and I can't. I'm blocked. It's tragic. And sometimes you find in poor countries, very poor countries, those children, they are cuddled, they are caressed as babies and as children. They are given attention and no toys, no expensive stuff. But they grow up into healthy adults. It's more important than anything else. Love. Express love. Many people become criminals because they didn't have any discipline. That's true. Another reason is because they didn't get any love. And they are in a morbid way turning into criminals to attract the attention of people in society. It is that sick. Children need to be loved. They need to be caressed. They need to be cuddled. And so, remember, woman is mostly motivated by feeling. A woman needs expressed affection. Expressed affection. And if you cannot express your affection, if you somehow a person is blocked, then at least say so. Say, look, this is what I would like to express, but I just can't. At least then the wife sees you're reaching out. You're trying. And she responds. Some people think that the only way to express affection is sex. Not true. Not true. So I am going into another section, and that is the physical aspect. Because in many cases, and I saw this from the counseling of masters, it depends on how that aspect is handled. whether marriage works or not. The teaching is moderation, and with the emphasis on love. The master said, human love, this is from her lessons, human love in marriage does not last unless it expresses itself divinely. Without the magnetizing power of divine love, married couples fail eventually to entertain or to respect one another. And when that happens, marriage goes on the rocks. Sex charm, intellectuality, beauty, money, culture, and personal magnetism are not sufficient to keep two persons together in happy marriage if divine love is not also present. Every man and woman seeks perfect love in his or her mate, but it may not be found until divine love is expressed by both partners in all their motives, actions, and life's ambitions. Another place he says, the first and most essential foundation for a happy marriage is soul unity, meaning similarity of spiritual ideals and goals implemented by a practical willingness to attain these goals by study, effort, and self-discipline, meaning including meditation. The second requirement for a happy marriage is similarity of interests, intellectual, social, and so on. And the third and last in importance, though usually given first place by unenlightened people, is physical attraction. That bond soon loses its attractive power if the first requirement or the first and second requirements are not also present. Now why? It is very simple. What is man? Man is the soul. When we talk about the wave, we think that's the body. It's not. Seems to be the most important, huh? You know what the master called the body in comparison with a wave? He says the body is only the froth on top of a wave. The essence of man is in the inner instruments and the soul. That's the essence of the wave. I give the illustration, the soul is a light bulb. That light bulb is covered by different instruments. And you can see it this way, like a light bulb covered by lampshades one after the other. And the outermost is the body. Now, you have two people, like say two light bulbs covered by those shades. What meets first? The outer lampshade? It's not a very exact illustration, but it serves the purpose, you know. And so it is because of this that the first meaning or the first attraction is physical and emotional. And then people stop there. That's not marriage. Marriage, in order to fulfill the true purpose, as we have seen, has to be a union of the deeper levels primarily, and reaching towards soul union. All right. Now, comes the big question. What is moderation? The answer is very simple. There is no outer rule because different people have different needs. But there is an inner rule. And that inner rule works like mathematics. And you know what it is? We have this included in our marriage ceremony. It is that part when bride and groom are exchanging roses as a symbol of their love. And they say to each other, I offer you this rose as a symbol of my love for you. A love I will express by kindness, respect, trust, and faith in you to the end of my life. And that is the rule. Because as long as there is moderation, those divine qualities are there. Respect, kindness, trust, and faith. Those divine qualities are expression of divine friendship, unconditional friendship, unconditional loyalty. And if a couple lives too much on a physical plane, then those divine qualities disintegrate. They disappear. And then marriage becomes what we often see. Like, there was a city judge who went on vacation into the mountains, and he wanted to go fishing, and he heard that there was a man in that village who knew all the best places where the fish bite. So he went to the man and he coaxed him to go with him fishing. And as the man sneaked away from his workbench, his wife saw him and gave him a tongue lashing with such blistering language that even the judge was surprised. And when they were out of earshot, the man said, "Judge, you won't believe this, but when I first met her 30 years ago, she was the prettiest, the sweetest person you have ever seen. So sweet, I could have eaten her up." And after a pause, he said, "And I wish I had done it too." Or there was a church picnic. Not one of ours. We have nice church picnics. But this happened to be some other church. And you know, they have games. And the next day in a church bulletin was posted the results of the games. And there was one item which said, "Mrs. Smith won the rolling pin throwing contest by throwing the rolling pin 75 yards. And her husband, Mr. Smith, won the 100-yard dash." You know, most marriage jokes are really very sad. I talked about moderation. Now, man, usually more aggressive sexually, is biologically and sexually the weaker. Why? Because also both lose an awful lot of energy in a sex act. Man has to replace the seminal fluid. And that is not ordinary cells. Those cells, they are destined to build, to form a new life. Those cells, it takes an enormous amount of energy to rebuild. And nature will do everything to replace that fluid, even at the expense of other vital substances in the male body. Just like a pregnant woman. If she does not have enough nourishment, proper nourishment, for both herself and the growing baby, nature will withdraw from the mother's body the needed substances to form that baby. Any doctor, any dentist will say that. Now the same thing happens in man. If a man is overindulging, his nerves become raw, he becomes moody, irritable, abusive. It is man's nature to express strength. In a disciplined man, that strength manifests as sattvic qualities, calmness, understanding, loyalty, courtesy, all those divine qualities. That's the sattvic strength. If a man is not disciplined, he also expresses strength, but it is pseudo-strength. It is the tamasic, the darkening qualities, In one word, brutality. Going back to those four divine qualities, kindness is the first. Kindness. You know, coming to practical application now, giving examples. For instance, the husband comes home from work. On a job, he has to express self-discipline and courtesy, otherwise he loses his job. And he brings, in many cases, a whole tension and irritation and resentment and pent-up anger home and dumps it all onto his wife. That is not consideration. That is not kindness. One man said, I never permitted myself to bring my troubles home. And the same thing with a wife. If she is at home having a hard time with children, all sorts of things, and many of them can hardly wait until when the husband comes home, they dump the whole irritation and emotional strain on him as if he had been on a vacation and he is coming home just for that. That is not marriage. There is an entirely different way of treating this or solving that problem. That's why it is an absolute must that you have recreation. Play, sport, and so on to throw it off. But when you come home, have consideration. And that is based only on a true, unselfish, deep friendship. Having empathy, realizing both have had a hard time, both have had a hard day. Both were in a battle for survival. Both are battle scarred. Now, isn't it more logical, if it is a true friendship, helping one another, treating each other as friends, instead of rubbing salt into the wounds, trying to heal each other's wounds, trying to encourage each other, the self-image which has been battered and bruised, help to build it again and stand by each other as friends. That is spiritual marriage. And that can come only if there is at least a certain degree of self-discipline. Another one is respect. Respect. If you think back in your courting days, wasn't it so that you presented yourself very nicely and clean and, you know, the good side? And then soon after marriage, it happens that people let go. I don't mean to say one should not relax. This is part of friendship. That with a close friend, as in marriage, you should be able to relax and let your hair down, but there is a big, big difference between being relaxed and comfortable and being, I hate to say it, a slob. Respect. When you look at the parents of Master, for instance, now, they were a super ideal couple. You read in the autobiography, before the husband came home, his wife took a bath and dressed herself nicely, even dressed the children, and respectfully greeted him, received him like a king. And do you think that he came home and threw all the tensions and irritations from his job at her? Never. She treated him like a king. He treated her like a queen. Utter respect. And that cannot come if there is not, to a certain degree, self-discipline. The next one is trust. Trust. What does that mean? Trust means there is unconditional loyalty in both partners. That's one of the most essential qualities, not only in marriage, but also on a spiritual path. You see right there a deep connection between both, because the Master said, what attitudes you have in your human relationships, you will carry over into your relationship with God and your spiritual path and your guru. Loyalty. Now, here now perhaps you see the importance of moderation. Moderation, not suppression. Moderation and sublimation as an expression of love, not sex for sex's sake. Because if it is sex for sex's sake, the consciousness comes down and one sees his marriage partner no more as a temple of God, but as a sex object. And because sex cannot give us the true ultimate fulfillment which we are seeking, the attitude is, maybe he or she, there's something wrong with him or her, and they are looking for other sex partners. Loyalty goes. If there is no loyalty, there is no trust. If there is no trust, there is no security. Everything goes out the window. And I tell you, I was there when the Master had some of those consultations. He gave each one what they needed. And I remember in one case, he was very kind, very gentle, and he said, try to have a little less sex. You have lost the respect for each other. You will have a deeper relationship, and you will have deeper love.